This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
Hello, another podcast.
Woohoo! Welcome.
Today, right now, just to give everyone a bit of a peek on the screens, we're about to jump in the car and do a bit of a drive.
Journey across Victoria.
Yes. And then we're seeing the sights of Victoria by car.
And then we get to the desert, which is not the other side of the world. It's Mildura.
No.
Because the weather is delightful. It's almost like summer's already hit it.
We could, tonight when we get to Mildura, because we are travelling now for the comedy cruise, we could be experiencing the best time of year to be in a desert.
Because you don't want post or anything after 40 degrees, right?
Oh, I think even after 30 might be pushing desert. Really? Well, I think 30 in the desert might be the same as 40 in the suburbs.
Right. Because buildings, they condense the heat, I suppose.
Possibly. I just think it'd be unpleasant to be in the... but we are doing that, so to give everyone the quick itinerary. So quick 3.5 hour jaunt down to Melbourne, where we'll take a flight to Mildura.
Probably with breaks too, pee stops, whatnot.
Oh, well, this is my concern, is because we hydrate during the show.
Yeah, it's important.
I'm going to be a liability on the road today. Do I do the Gatorade bottle? Do I do...
No, absolutely not.
Producer Aaliyah and Jules, very affirmative.
We'll have one break and it will be in between.
Have I spoken about on the show? I think I might have done it with Em when you were away, Jules. Did I ever
talk to you? Did you reveal the Gatorade story when I was not here?
Have I revealed it to you?
Yes, you have.
Yeah, I think I must have.
Have you told the public?
I must have.
Oh, no.
I feel like I've spoken about it recently. Producer Lee, I know you're in the middle of something. Do you want to jump on quickly and I'll tell you a quick story?
Oh, sure.
No. Have I ever told you the well, not Gatorade, it's Maximus, actually.
Oh, no. Oh, so it's an even bigger bottle.
Well, that's very flattering. when I tell you the story. So when I was living in central Queensland, and look, the frequent pee stops has been a regular thing, and I've also been a hydrated boy for many years.
I know you've got TB, you know,
man's got to do it. And when I was in Queensland, because you're sweating out through the day, I would drink so much water, so it was even arguably even worse. So I'd go to the bathroom a bit, and I was a little self-conscious about, you know, constantly getting up and out of bed and back into bed and do it several times if my housemates were awake.
Oh, right. I was like,
yeah, because it'd be like,
in front of who?
Mate, just go to the bathroom correctly the first time.
Nervous peer.
Yeah.
So it got to the point, sometimes I would go many, many, many times in a night.
And then you didn't want to disturb the housemates.
No, not really. And sometimes if I had a girl over, I didn't want to be getting in and out of bed all the time to do, like, you know, that's disruptive.
Do your beers,
exactly
right.
Exactly right.
So I know where this is going. Yeah. No, go on.
But you don't.
Okay.
You do, but you don't. So it's not as bad as I think what you're thinking.
Okay.
Actually, what are you imagining right now?
I'm just thinking that you've put a Maximus bottle or a Gatorade bottle next to the bed and you've gone, ladies here, and I gotta go when I gotta go.
Pee
and then
bucket.
You go.
No, yep. It's not that awful.
Okay.
So what I would do is, like, you know, I would go to the toilet like a normal time, like once, maybe twice if I had to. But if it started getting into scary hours, what I would do is, if she got up to go to the bathroom, and like it rustled me awake, I'd be like, she's awake. She's out of the room. And then as soon as she was using
the
bathroom,
I'll beat her to it. I'll run and get it.
I'd get my Maximus bottle and quickly pee while she was peeing, and then would hop back in bed like no one was any the wiser. So I would hide my urinary habits in the evening.
No one was any the wiser.
No one knew. And then
until
oh no.
Oh no.
What's the until? I think I had
Didn't someone discover the bottle?
No, no one's ever
Are
discovered
sure?
the bottle. No, certainly. Well, I told a friend, my friend Hayden, who I was living up there and doing the show with at the time, and he was aware of it, and we thought it was very funny, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, life moves on, and eventually I got sort of a bit more on top of it.
And then he held onto the bottle all this time.
And then it's family relic, passed it down, hand-me-downs. Well, okay, Maximus bottle, expensive, $3. And then I got into a long-term relationship, and I'd never really brought it up with her. And then,
because you were confident peeing,
I became toilet trained. And then on a night out in Melbourne, whilst we were visiting one time, Hayden goes, "Does she know about the Maximus bottle?" And she goes, "What are you talking about?" And I went, "Hayden, we would never speak about that.
This is going to the grave."
And then I told her.
Do you think that was deliberate?
To never talk about or him bringing it up.
No, to bring it up.
No, I don't think he was trying to like embarrass me. I think he just assumed that I had spoken about it because we've been together for like 2.5 years at that point.
So he's
like,
secrets.
She must know about you peeing in a Maximus bottle. And it's like, oh, here we go. Here's the story. And, you know, it was funny for a little bit. And then, you know,
well,
you move on.
What did she say? Sorry?
Oh, she was like weird, but that's fine. Like, it's, you know, she was a bit like, oh, you're weird, but all right. You know, it's not like it's a deal breaker. You know, it's like, I don't do it now. She goes, you don't do that now, do you? I'm like, no, you would be hyper aware. We lived together for like 2 years.
I don't know. Grew out of it.
Well, thank you for sharing.
That's all right.
I feel a lot closer to you now.
No, I don't need to be.
Anyway, I don't need to be.
Mic back down. Well, you can return to work. And anyway.
Business done. That's all we need to share.
Warren's Angels is once we jump on the plane, I will need the aisle seat.
Oh, that's what we were talking about.
Yes, I did. Yes, I recently booked some flights for the end of the year for a little holiday I'm going on. And the airline didn't let me, with the ticket that I chose, book seats unless I wanted to pay an extra amount.
That's outrageous.
I do think that is a scam. I do think it should be just like, here's the rule, what an airline should do. It goes, if you book in at the right, like, just if you book, you should get to choose your seat. Mm. And then if it comes down to like the last few tickets and like say you get stuck with, you can't choose.
Or you're a last minute
purchaser. Give them $20 off or something.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be you have to pay extra. Yeah.
Well, but this is awkward because I also requested the aisle seat.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
It's an hour. We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Won't be sitting near you.
Well, that's all right. I'll be.
We've both got our aisles at least stuck in the window.
I've got quite big legs, so I won't be able to have the Maximus bottle on my lap. So I'm going to need to put that in your behind the seat rest. You know, at the back end of the flight when the flight attendants come around, like, does anyone have any rubbish they need to give up? I would say. They go,
hang on, no, I want to hold on. Here's this safekeeping.
Here's this 1 liter bottle. Yeah, I need you to empty it.
Return
but
it.
Bring it back, please. And
please wear gloves.
And honestly, like, you might want to wear like a ventilator as well. Crack a window at the back of the plane. All right, we're about to jump in to the car so we can get out of here for another day.
We'll see you on the other side.
See you tomorrow when we talk to you. We'll be in Mildura. Tomorrow night, Comedy Cruise. Friday morning. Hungover in Mildura.
Ooh, different.
We actually, something we should touch on tomorrow's show is we need to ask Bruce earlier, because last time we had trammed up comedy and we had a night out, you weren't drinking and you drove me home.
I did.
I don't think I'm going to drink. I don't think either of us necessarily will have a big night, but we've got to do some logistical planning on the next show.
Fair.
Just be about, it's about being responsible, because I want to hang out with our listeners and everyone that's coming out. Very excited to see you all. We'll see you tomorrow for the new podcast.
Bye-bye.
Question Everything Season 3, Jules, it is back, premiering tonight at 8:30 p.m. on ABC TV. And if you missed it, catch it on ABC iView. Of course, guest panellists for tonight include Alex Lee, Geraldine Hickey and Nath Valvo. But of course, the man behind the mics, of course, outside of Jan Fran, is Will Anderson. He joins us right now. Good morning, Will.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate all the provisos you had to put on getting to my name in that. You were like, they're this fabulous guest. And apart from Jan Fran, he is the man. It's the only other one that's left that I haven't named yet. It's Will Anderson.
Well, it feels a little underwhelming if I say you first and then I spend 30 seconds just saying and then get to you.
No, I liked it. I appreciated it. When I used to tour in America, there's this tradition they have in America that we just don't have in Australian or English comedy, which is that like Americans like to hear the credits of the person before they go on stage. So the MC will be there going, you've seen this guy 3 times on the Conan O'Brien show and he did a series of blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, in Australia, we have the opposite attitude, which is Peter Hallier used to introduce himself backstage. And I thought this sums up Australian comedy. He said, ladies and gentlemen, turn off your mobile phones and lower your expectations. It's Peter Hallier.
Well, look, we can do the accolades we got given in your little bio here from our producer. We've got Victorian based and you're an Aquarius. That is those are our two little provisos for you.
Some real research there. I am an Aquarius, though. I don't know what that means, but January 31st, I'll be 50 on January the 30th. 19, I know, right?
1974, don't even have to do the math yet. That's good producing, Israel.
Good work,
Aaliyah.
No, we know.
Is there any follow-up information about the Aquarius thing, though? Is like that going to be a good year for Aquarius? Does it come into the equation, or is it just being thrown in as a little bit of extra information?
Actually, producer Aaliyah, just quickly, I'll quickly flick your mic on. Can you tell Will what to expect as an Aquarius just coming up?
Yes, I can. Will, I just wanted to say really quickly, we're going to cut this out. I used to have a really big childhood crush on you. Growing up.
Well, we can't cut this out now. We're going to keep this
in. I need to keep this. But for Aquarius Horoscope 2024, you will be firm in expressing your thoughts and give importance to discipline in life. You will have a preference for hard work, and your diligent efforts will bring excellent success in various areas of your life.
Don't know about 2023, though, so sorry about that.
Yeah. Can't tell you much about
2023. Yeah, I mean, but I'm already in 2024. I only go in financial years. That's how I celebrate my. I have New Year's Eve on June 30, so I'm well into my 2024.
You're looking quite far ahead, but we are only looking ahead to this evening, of course, for season 3 premiere. Question Everything back on screens. Is there enough for you to trawl through? Are you running out of gear, or do they just keep feeding you?
It's too much. There's too much stuff. Like the entire news cycle, as you would know now, like in the morning, you'll be getting up and you'll be trying to see what's going on in the world. And if you only read the headlines of what's on the banner of the TV or on the news sites, you would have a completely different idea of what's going on with the world if you read the whole articles. And so basically the only job our show does is we read beyond the headline and actually just try to work out what is really going on.
Well, I think there's a... fair to say there's a lot of stuff happening, a lot of bad news happening overseas. And I wonder, as a comedian, as an entertainer, do you have this sort of duty of care that you need to lighten the mood and provide the laughs for us all?
Well, basically, this is my version of fighting back against the Terminators. Like, I'm never going to be a John Connor post-apocalypse. Like, I have bad hips. I shuffle about.
Sure.
All I can really do is look at the world and the way that we get manipulated in the world, because that's... I think that we make mistakes against our own will. Like, we don't understand that the news that we get, if we click on one particular article, the algorithm likes to feed us things that are to our liking. So eventually you can actually be in this tiny rabbit hole, and it can happen very innocently. People don't understand these major companies. They have more psychologists working at social media companies and advertising agencies than they do in the rest of society. Mm-hmm. Like, the money and the psychology is always banked completely against us. And I just like to alert people of that, hopefully in a fun way, in a funny way, so that they can engage in that topic without it sounding like a boring university lecture that's telling you that everything is out to get you, I guess.
As you're putting the show together, and because, like, you're having all these thoughts, obviously, as you're making Question Everything, do you still get caught in the trap of when you're, you know, if you're shooting through the news feed and getting caught up in that news cycle? Or have you risen above it by season 3?
Oh, I've been doing a show about advertising, Gruen, for 16 years, and I still fall for ads. So, no, often when we're talking about, like, a category on Gruen, like, and we've learned all about all the bad things they do for a company, or, you know, their advertising, but because I've watched 12 ads in a row for that company, when I'm driving home, I have to go to the servo and, like, pick up that product, because it works even when you're pulling it apart. And that's the sad thing about misinformation and disinformation, is a lot of it's just very casual. Like, we always think about it as being these big conspiracies where everyone's lying or whatever, but it's actually just the fact that, like, the headline on a story might, or the picture they use with the story might be completely misleading to what the actual story is about. And if you only see the headline and the picture, you just get a very warped idea of what's going on in the world.
Are there any conspiracies out there that are afoot currently we should be on the lookout for?
Well, I mean, I am one of those people. I don't believe in proper conspiracy theories. I wish I did. I wish, because they are much simpler.
It would make life more interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, it's a much simpler solution to the world to say that there's, like, a group of lizards running it or whatever. You're like, there's some comfort in that. Like, I don't judge people who believe in conspiracy theories, because, like, conspiracy theories have been around forever. We just used to call them religions, but they're the same thing. They're just a set of stories that are meant to explain what's going on in the world and why it's going on in the world. And I love that, because that's a much better, like, more reassuring explanation of the world than we are just an accident of atoms in the corner of a random and ever-expanding universe, and just a whole bunch of random things came together for this to happen. I mean, that's a bit overwhelming. Can't it just be lizards? Come on, guys.
More palatable, sure. Yeah,
certainly. Speaking of lizards, we're getting the wrap-up from the lizards here, because you've said too much, and we'll have nothing to touch on tonight. If you want to catch Will, Jan, Fran, and, of course, a great lineup of panellists, you can catch them tonight. Question Everything Season 3. The premiere is at 8:30 ABC TV. Get in front of your screens. And then if you miss it, of course, ABC iView. Will, thank you very much for your time this morning, bud. We look forward to it.
Oh, thank you very much. And I look forward to 2024, this big year for Aquarians.
This time yesterday, a little bit of a peek behind the scenes, was a little bit chaotic off air.
I think that's fair.
I got a message from my boyfriend saying, I think I left my car keys in your car. For some reason.
Weird place.
very strange. Either way, he was very stressed. He couldn't get himself to work. He was ringing around trying to get chauffeured, whatnot, to get to his workplace. Mm-hmm. To the point where I had to get someone while we were on air to go through my car and check for them to try and get them back to him.
Mm, invasive.
Then that person who went through the car, a colleague, came in and said, "You've got some really weird stuff in your car. We combed through it, couldn't find the car keys, but man, oh man, you've got some weird things." I thought, no, I don't.
Well, I don't know about that because your car notoriously messy, right? Well, I mean, just that's the rumors going around the office place.
What?
There are weird things in your car, allegedly. And so I guess to find out just how weird the stuff in your car is, we've got an insider mole. And I say a mole because she's had to burrow through some of the crap that's in there. Out to the car park right now. Some shows, by the way, some radio shows are crossing live to Israel at the moment.
Yes.
We're crossing live to the car park for equally important hard-hitting stuff. Producer Aaliyah, are you live from the car park?
I am. I am currently in Jules's car.
Where you went to.
Are you wearing the hazmat suit that we provided?
I've got the mask on. Yeah. I've got the gloves. I've got everything on. Cool. Don't worry.
Signed the waivers. I think we're getting you to look forward and find some of the strange things in the car. Look,
you're not going to find anything.
I think that, we're definitely not going to find car keys because evidently that's...
Aaliyah's got them.
Producer Aaliyah, as you're having a bit of a look around there, is there anything outside of the norm that's sitting in the car currently?
Well, first glance, it looks pretty normal. It's actually quite clean in here, Jules.
Thank you. I knew it.
Is that, Producer Aaliyah, is that by regular standards or is that by sort of like a Jules standard?
There is an empty water bottle in here, or one or two.
Julia Green. Marie Greenhalf.
I'm not a Marie.
I don't know.
But first looking, there is an empty bottle of a very, very tiny perfume in the driver's car door.
Trying to cover
that was full earlier. What have you done?
Producer Aaliyah's going to come back smelling quite nice.
There's no lid on it, so yeah. Passenger side, there's a tennis ball.
You don't play tennis, Jules?
No.
Why have a tennis ball in your car?
I genuinely don't know.
Are you even playing playing fetch with yourself? Go to a park, you throw it, and then just go, all right, Jules, let's go.
I think I got it at one stage to maybe massage a knot out of my arm or something. I just left it in there.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Those tight ITVs, I get it. But the weirdest thing I've found.
Oh, no.
Is genuinely, in the back seat, there's just like... How do I describe this? It's like the top of a pipe. Like a drain pipe.
You got a drain pipe? Did you rob? Did you walk past a construction site on the way home from school one day, Jules?
My water bottle doesn't fit in the cup holder, so I went to Bunnings and got a piece of pipe.
You've got PVC piping in the back of your car to use as a makeshift drink holder.
Yeah.
Get a smaller drink bottle, Jules. You don't need to have like some sort of rainwater tank sitting in the back of the car. You don't need to hydrate that much.
I do.
Yeah. All right. Producer Aaliyah, we'll get you to come back up. Don't touch anything.
Don't take the pipe. That's important.
It's a delicate ecosystem down there in the car. Do not touch the pipe because it might have residue on it of other things. So we just want to make sure you're really safe and sound and get back up here. Jules, can you at least pretend to promise that you're going to have a bit of a clean out?
No. Bring back my car keys.
Nick and Jules' comedy cruise along the gorgeous Murray River, only on Hit.
Traditionally, when you're putting together a comedy cruise night, there's a lot of pieces you need. Food, yes. Drinks, boat.
Comedians,
yeah. We've got most of those things. We've got two of our three comedians. They do say you need about three comedians for a comedy cruise.
Yes, as the old saying goes, of putting together a comedy cruise.
Growing up, my dad used to say that all the time, and it only really started making sense recently. But we've got two of the three.
Yep.
We've got Em Tressida and Donna Collins on the lineup as well.
Woo!
Putting in the third piece, the third mate, another swashbuckler.
Ooh.
I believe that's a pirating term, but I don't quite know. Producer Aaliyah, to quickly find out what swashbuckler means for us. He joins us now, third comedian, Zach Dyer. Good morning, mate.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Happen to know what swashbuckling means, do you?
No. I don't have my dictionary handy right now.
That's fair. Look, do you have any nautical experience? Have you been on a boat before?
Do you know what? I was actually on a paddle boat on the Murray like a month ago.
No.
Okay.
You are prepared more than us, yeah. I would say.
Yeah, I didn't know this gig was coming up, but maybe subconsciously I did.
Something
yeah.
in the waters.
Well, tell us in that case, Zach, how are the seas looking at the moment?
It was beautiful on there, mate. It was absolutely wonderful.
Pristine.
All right. And our producer Lee is just telling us that a swashbuckler is a person who engages in daring and romantic adventures with bravado or flamboyance. Zach, do you feel like you could fit that bill?
100%, mate. That sounds like me to a T.
All right.
Well, I have seen, Zach, you're a bit of a hit with the ladies sometimes when it comes to your sets. Get a little flirty in the audience. Are we going to be seeing a bit of crowd play tomorrow night?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you get me on the high seas, anything can happen.
That's beautiful. I've also heard that when it comes to international waters, which...
We're again, not going to be on Nick.
But I just, you know, or national waters, the captain of the ship can just marry people off.
Oh, is that true?
Like they can renew vows, they can marry people. So if things go well, Zach, we could end up finding you a bride or whatever takes your fancy.
Oh, 100%. That sounds amazing. What a story that'd be.
Yeah. How'd you meet your wife?
Funny story.
Comedy cruise, pretty traditional way that we do it all there. Yeah. We also understand that, I mean, we've seen photos of you, people who might have seen your stand-up before would be aware that you do sport quite a vicious mullet.
Oh, yes.
And look, as we move out to the seas of Mildura, we understand, and you're probably aware of this, but regionally, the mullet is the hairstyle of choice. Do you feel like yours has what it takes to stand up to Mildurans?
Well, I don't know. We'll see, you know. I don't think it's a competition. I think we mullet enjoyers and owners, we're all in it. It's a solidarity thing, you know. I don't like to compare myself to the mullet next to me.
Appreciates them one and all. What a bloody love that.
What a swashbuckler. If that's not daring and romantic, bravado or flamboyance, I don't know what is. All right. Tomorrow night, that is the Night of Nights Comedy Cruise. We are very excited. You can follow us along on our Facebook, of course, find us over there. The Nick and Jules Inner Circle for behind the scenes. Off air with Nick and Jules for all the podcast bits and pieces. There's lots of places to get us. But
that's if
you are sitting there, you've got your tickets already, you'll be catching us tomorrow night with M. Tressida, Donna Collins, and of course, the man on the line with us right now, Zach Dyer. You swashbuckler, we'll see you tomorrow night, mate. Looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it as well, guys. Thank you so much, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Good on you, Zach.
Bad news. I did some, obviously, grocery shopping. That's not the bad news. That's just regular life. But I've made a purchase that I did not check. And here's the thing. I think everyone does this at some point. You buy something at the supermarket and you don't check the expiry date on it.
Oh, no.
And then when you do see it, you go, oh, crap, this expires way sooner than expected.
Okay, that means it was in the discount section.
No, it wasn't even in the
discount
section. Really? That's what I thought. Looking back at it, I go, I should have got this way cheaper than it was.
Well, that's the thing. You weigh up the cost benefit for how quickly you got to have it.
This is where I'm at mentally. And I was like, okay, well, I've been stung here by you, Woolworths. Absolutely.
Naming and shaming.
I think we can go. I'm shooting for the king.
Going hard.
Going after him. Yesterday was, or the day before, I can't remember. Life's a blur, isn't it? But I was doing groceries. And here's the thing about me. I have the same thing to eat most days of the week.
You're boring.
For probably months, many, many months. maybe the year I've every day had... For lunch, an egg white omelette with cheese and a bowl of oats and blueberries.
Okay, well, you know what you like and you stick with it.
Yeah, and it's great and it's healthy and it's X, Y, and Z and bloody love it. So I was buying my egg whites for the foreseeable future. I bought about 2 kilos of egg whites.
That's a lot of egg whites.
That's a lot of egg whites. And then I get home and I'll have just a cheeky look at the expiry date and it's today.
Ah!
It's midnight.
Mm.
So for the last 24 hours... Your boy's been going hard on the egg whites, Jules.
Oh, getting rid of them very quickly.
Mate, you've got to. And because I don't want to waste them.
Have you improvised?
Well, how do you improvise?
I don't know. Use it as much as possible in different variations.
Oh, I haven't drunk water.
No,
I'm just, throwing up my water bottle here in the studio that's just full of egg whites.
Yuck.
Wildly unhealthy. I think it's quite a bit of a salmonella.
Well, you haven't got the yolk, so you know.
Is that where the bacteria lies?
I thought that was the unhealthier part of the egg.
Well, I'm more worried about eggs expiring. I think that's how you get really sick. So yesterday I ate about a kilo of omelets. Today, before we head to Mildura, I'm
backing
also,
it up.
Also looking to do another quick kilo of omelets.
It really sounds like you're doing an egg white challenge to anyone that wouldn't know.
Oh, actually, that's what I should. Actually, that's a great move from you, Jules. Is in order to, I guess, recoup some of my costs lost here. Is I need to start the egg white challenge and become, Victoria's number one egg whites provider.
We've already talked about it on radio, so.
Yeah, great. Get the hashtag training, hashtag the egg white challenge, and 131060 if you'd like to invest in a very small supply of egg whites.
Maybe gross.
They do expire tonight, and shipping will be at your cost, but otherwise, egg whites, they're completely free.
That was the Nick and Jules podcast.